Welcome. This is a sermon from Hope Community Church. We're glad you're here. Okay, good morning. It's good to see everyone. That's when you're happy to be seen then too, right? That's good. Anyway, so this is an exciting time of year. This is what oftentimes referred to as the Advent series or season, where we're looking forward to celebrating the coming of Jesus onto earth. And you know, this is a significant deal. And it's really interesting how we try to, as a society or as a world, we try to downplay this event. And it's really hard when even our calendars are based on this event. You know, we're after the death of Jesus in the year 2020. You know, you have BC, you have before his birth, and then you have the year of the Lord and after that. And it's so interesting. I remember the first time, I think it's when we lived in Philadelphia, and we were at some museum or something, and they had changed it to, instead of being, right now I'm talking about something, I forget all the details. I hate when I start this story like this. But they're changing it from BC, it's no longer before Christ, it's like, current era, yes, yeah, CE or CA. That's after, okay. But anyway, they're changing it. They're trying to not recognize the fact that all of time is based on this event. This is a huge deal. We can't ignore it. It wasn't ignored, and it still today can't be ignored, even though we try to. So in light of this event, we're talking about different topics that are commonly talked about in churches at this time. You can go ahead. So it says, this is what, from last week, we said, you know, Christians from all over the world will each Sunday celebrate a different theme. Last week we talked about peace, shalom. This week we're going to talk about hope. And then next week we have joy, and then we'll finish with love. So today we're going to focus on hope. And all of the Advent is based on this idea of observing the first coming of this God or this man together who we call Jesus, while also looking forward to his second coming. And all of this is taken from the Bible Project Advent series that you can look up on their website or on YouTube and watch the 5-minute videos that relate to this. So, based on some things that Tim Mackey has said, let's go through and look at hope. So he was saying that what we hope for shapes what we live for. Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. You know, all of us have hopes, and it really does kind of drive and shape what it is we live for. I can't believe I didn't even think of this, but coming in, I was talking to some people and talking about the fact that Penn State won some games, you know, so now where are all these fans? They're getting their hope back, right? It's shaping their life. They're back there. They're cleaning out their mobile home. They're ready to go to the next game someday, right? They have hope again. Sorry, I just have to always go to that topic. It's too good. Anyway, but it does. It shapes. And also, hope is what motivates us to endure the challenges that life can throw at us. And right now, more than ever, we have a lot of challenges being thrown at us. And right now, more than ever, a lot of those things that we put our hopes in are disappointing. Things that we put in a position to save us or rescue us can't do that. And we're recognizing that. And it's starting to challenge a lot of us. And you're starting to see people move to a position of not having hope. And so they're having a hard time going through these difficult times. And this is where we need to be present in other people's lives as much as we can be, to let them know that our hope goes beyond just the current situation or current circumstances. And we'll talk more about that. So there are different kinds of hope in our lives. And we have experiences when our hopes have disappointed us. Tim Mackey gave some examples. He said, when circumstances don't work out, so for example, you don't get the job that you hoped for, or you know, you don't get into the college you had hoped for, or whatever the situation is, we all recognize there's times that things don't go the way we had hoped. Or more, I don't know how to say this, it can sting a lot more when people let you down. You had hoped someone would come through for you. That's when it can become real personal, and that's when the hurt can be pretty significant. When we put our hopes into people and they fail. And you know, there's a pretty significant trend going on right now where there's a lot of pastors, they call them celebrity pastors, who get in this position and they have a lot of authority and a lot of power, and people put a lot of hope in them, and these people are falling left and right. And so that's a lot to deal with for people. And we talk about this a lot. What's really nice about the Bible is it doesn't sugarcoat things. And in fact, we see in the Bible, there's often they had wanted, or watching them deal with trying to navigate difficult circumstances. So for example, Abraham and Sarah, they had hoped they could have a child. They couldn't. They thought it was, you know, going to happen, and so they took matters into their own hand, and instead of trusting in God, they tried to make the circumstances go to their favor, and it was a disaster. Or the Israelites, they hoped God would hear their cry to free them from slavery, right? The Israelites would go in and out of slavery and would oftentimes be hoping for God to hear them. And then we have David in Psalm 62. I'm going to read just a small section of this. And we're going to see something interesting that the Bible talks about as we deal with hope. It says, and this is David speaking, he says, "So many enemies against one man," that's him. "All of them are trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face, but curse me in their hearts." Just stop right there for a second. That should be something that you relate to, right? We kind of all have felt that, especially if you're a boss. Right? If you've ever been a boss, they're nice to your face, but they're not nice to you in your back, right? It's just part of being in leadership. So regardless of your situation, you've felt this. So what does David do? "Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in Him." There's something that's much different than what a lot of times as a person I think about when I'm feeling hopeless or I'm dealing with issues, is what is it that I put my hope in? And here we see something drastically different. And that is, we don't see David saying, "Boy, I hope you take care of all these people and make this situation perfect." Instead, what he says is, "I'm going to put my hope in Him." So, it's much different from optimism. Optimism is not biblical hope. Optimism is when you're just hoping things get better. In other words, you look at a situation and you say, "Yeah, it looks bad here, it looks bad there, but maybe if we just get these things to come together and this lines up, then maybe it's going to go better." That's not biblical hope. Biblical hope is putting your hope in a person. Much different. The person being God. So, let's just compare them real quickly. Biblical hope, based on God's character. This is why, like, it's important where Romans talks about transforming your mind and thinking back on to what it is that God has done and who He is. That's significant for going forward. Looking back is important in looking forward and moving forward because it develops that hope, that correct hope, not optimism. God doesn't promise that everything's going to be, you know, you're just going to skip around and have lollipops all day. That's not what God promises at all. Okay? So what we see is we have to be clear on who God is to move through these difficult times. Optimism is based on current circumstances. Biblical hope looks long-term and trusts God's character. When I say long term, meaning it might not be clear while we're alive here on earth. It might not be clear until we're in the presence of God. That's what I mean by long term. Here's another thing. We're not sure how it's going to turn out. It may turn out you die. It may turn out that something, your things just fall apart. We don't know. Optimism, you look at all the factors and see how it is going to potentially work out for the best. And then lastly, in the end, God will bring justice on those who do evil. That's what David was counting on. In optimism, in the end, who knows? And by the way, this is why when you have optimism as your worldview, it can get pretty painful. Because a lot of times it doesn't work out. And you start to just question everything. Like I said, that's where we're at as a society right now. Okay. So hope is the feeling of anticipating a future that is better than the present. And here's the deal. It's crucial for human existence. If you've lost all hope, it's very hard to go on. It starts with just, it's hard to get out of bed. It's hard to do anything. You just kind of give up. And again, on my YouTube adventures, sometimes I'll watch these survivor stories. Have you guys ever seen these stories where I was out there? You could be trapped in the woods for days or something like that. One of the common themes that you hear is that these people had something that they were hoping for, like they had kids that they wanted to see grow up or whatever it was. They had some hope versus just giving up. You seem to see that when people give up, it tends to be over at that point. So, in light of the Bible Project, let's go through some of the Hebrew meanings to these words. And this one has like a spit in your throat that I won't do, so we'll just call it Yahah. Yahah is to wait for. Okay, Yahah is to wait for. And then there's another, let me give you an example. This is out of Genesis. Like when Noah had to Yahah for weeks for the floodwaters to recede. Okay, he was waiting for the floodwaters to go down. So that's one of the words that is used for hope. Okay, another one is kava, which again is to wait, but it's a little different. Kava comes from the word kav, which is a cord. And it's when you pull a cord tight and you create tension into it until it breaks. And it says that anticipation of that release of right before it breaks is called kava. For me, this is why I hate balloons. Like when you blow up a balloon, like I got that feeling like when they keep blowing and they're like, oh, just two more breaths. And it's like this big already. And they keep going. And I'm like, okay, that's kava. That's that anticipating that it's going to break. All right. So that's the hope that is the meaning for, that's the word that's used for hope. Okay. So Isaiah depicts God as a farmer who plants vines and kavahs for the grapes. So he's anticipating, he's waiting for the grapes. So in the context, it would say this in Isaiah 5:2. He plowed the land, cleared its stones, and planted it with the best vines. In the middle, he built a watchtower and carved a wine press in the nearby rocks. Then he kavod, or he waited for the harvest of sweet grapes, but the grapes that grew were bitter. Okay, so again, you can kind of see how that works. Now, here's the deal. Hope is about waiting or expectations. But the big question is, what are they waiting for? Okay, waiting for what? And it becomes real clear when you start to read the different stories in the Bible. In Isaiah 8:17, it says, I will wait for the Lord who has turned away from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my hope in him. So it says here that the only hope Isaiah had in those dark times was the hope for God himself. Now here's the sad thing, ready? A lot of times This is like one of the last places we go. In other words, we have to have everything else removed from us until we get to this point. What I want to encourage you is, let's be wise and let's not wait to be destroyed until we turn our hope to a person being God, and let's turn our hope to Him now. And that's part of this Advent season, is to remember to do this. Psalms records to wait, the phrase to wait, over 40 times. And what people are waiting for is God. Let's take a look at that. Psalm 135 says, I am counting on the Lord. Yes, I am counting on Him. I've put my hope in His word. I long for the Lord more than centuries long for the dawn. Yes, more than centuries long for the dawn. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord overflows. So again, you see this important key, and that is biblical hope is based on a person. Now, when I say a person, we're talking about God in the Old Testament, and we're talking about Jesus in the New Testament. That's what the hope is based on. Whenever you put your hope in something else, that something else is now become God in your life, which we would call an idol, and is now in a position it shouldn't be in. Something that is created is now acting as the creator in your life, and it's not. We've misplaced where we're putting our hope. So be careful when you're starting to... So for example, I talk about this a lot of times. You see a train wreck of a family when a family puts all their hope in their kids to be whatever it is they hope them to be. Whether it's some straight-A student or some superstar athlete, you've put that kid in a position that God is supposed to be in. It's a perfect way to destroy that kid. Because that kid cannot be God. You put your hope into the wrong thing. Okay, so you see how this works? We need to learn to put our hope into the Creator, not the creation or any aspect of the creation. As some people say, when you take a good thing and make it a God thing, it becomes a bad thing. Right? So, anyway, when I say hope is based on a person, it's Jesus. This is much different from optimism. Again, we keep comparing the two because in our culture, I think we confuse the two. Biblical hope isn't based on circumstances. In fact, it says oftentimes there's no evidence things will get better, but you choose hope anyway. You choose it. This is what we talked about in the beginning. Why would you choose to do this? Well, you look back in the past. And you look back and you say, God has been faithful in this situation. Whether it's in biblical text or in your own life, you just look back and you keep reflecting on the history of who God is and His character to help you go through the future. This is why we're going to do communion today. Think about it. Communion is a perfect way for us to think back in order to move forward. Because remember, when you lose all hope, it's all over. I never thought of communion as a way to build my hope, but that's exactly what it does. Or, like Hosea, he lived in a dark time when Israel was being oppressed by foreign empires. He chose hope when he said in 2:15, he said that God could transform this valley of trouble into a door of hope. Okay? He didn't know how it was going to happen. He's just trusting God is capable of. And he's just putting his hope in Him. That's not optimism. So, it's described this way in the video. It says, It's His past faithfulness that motivates hope for the future. And that's exactly right. So, you look forward by looking backward, trusting in nothing else than God's character. So again, you see that picture there. That guy's kind of walking forward, and you see he's kind of reflecting on the scribes in the history of man, and reflecting on those writings, that wisdom that can move us forward. So, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. I mean, there, it's so clear and such a good picture for us when he's asking the question, where do I put my hope? Usually that question comes from everyone and everything has let you down. Again, let's try to not wait for that to happen. The New Testament believers developed a similar habit of hope. Their hope and our hope is based on a person, the risen Jesus who has overcome death. So that's what this Advent season is about. It's about this, in the Old Testament, it was about them looking forward to the Messiah coming. That was their hope. And now for us on the other side of the cross, it's us looking back at that hope in the person of Jesus. And then Peter says this beautifully. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope." That is such a profound statement. A new birth. We're new creations. We're new creations into a new hope that is living hope. Right? I mean, I never really connected the fact that Jesus coming out of the grave now makes our hope a living hope. It's so interesting. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. What a really powerful verse, right? This idea that when things are all going horribly wrong, that we have a living hope in Christ. Again, our hope is not optimism, okay? Our hope is a choice to wait for God to bring about a future that's as surprising as a crucified man raising from the dead. I love how Tim Mackey said that. I thought that was so interesting. Again, go back for 1 second. Let me read that again. Our hope is a choice. It's a choice. We have a choice to make here. And in, as far as going forward, is to wait for God to bring about a future. Now, let me just address that real quickly. Romans 8 talks about that future. When everything is going to be restored, nature and man is going to be restored without the effects of sin. That's a future that's coming to us as believers. And it says, a future that's as surprising as a crucified man raising from the dead. That's obviously Jesus coming out of the grave. And that was shocking to them. And it's still shocking today. Now, what's the significance of that? Well, the significance is that Jesus, as it says, is living. Our hope is living. And for us sitting here, the significance of that is you have a choice to make. And that is, are you going to pay for your sins? Or are you going to allow Jesus to have paid for your sins to restore that relationship? If it's you that pays for your sin, that's death, eternal separation from God. That's the payment. And someone's got to pay it. It's either going to be you, or God is offering a way to restore that relationship with him by believing in what Jesus had done on the cross. And the significance of him not just dying on the cross, but also coming out of the grave and raising from the dead. Now you put your trust in that, there is the payment for your sin that you owe. His death is now counted as your death. And now you have the opportunity to have eternity with God. That's good news. That's what we call the gospel. And that's something that gives us hope as we move forward. So, as I finish in here, this is the last slide. Our hope in Jesus allows us to celebrate communion together. And it's exciting that we get this opportunity to do that. So let me pray for us, and I'm going to have Rob come up and lead us in communion. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have a living hope in Jesus. Thank you for his arrival 2,000 years ago. Thank you for your word that we can see that people do struggle and they do have disappointments. And then we see that they ultimately turn to you and how significant that hope is in the past to help us move towards the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.